Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 79 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
This individual came in and thought he was going to set up a little drug ring.
Two men are facing drug trafficking charges after an undercover investigation in Rowan County.
An Ashland-based company is moving to Delaware.
A new tax is hurting area nonprofits.
Moorhead State University is hosting an online open house for prospective grad students.
Rowan County's library is offering a back-to-school pack.
In sports, the Reds are looking for redemption in Washington tonight at 7.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Scattered showers tonight with a low around 67 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Prosecutor in the case against the Marshall County High School shooting suspect does not believe the teen should be the only one facing charges related to the deadly shooting. In a Washington Post article published this week, lead attorney Mark Blankenship says he can't help but think about how easy it would have been to keep the gun out of the possession of the alleged shooter. Court documents indicate Justin Meinyard admitted to investigators that Gabriel Parker, the alleged shooter, had knowledge that Meinyard, Parker's stepfather, kept a 9mm handgun in his closet. The documents go on to say when he checked January 23rd, the day of the incident, the gun was missing. According to police, Parker admitted it was easy to get to because it was at the bottom of a clothes basket in a closet. The Post reports Blankenship told them he wanted to charge Meinyard with gross indifference, meaning prosecutors would have to show signs he knew his stepson was troubled and failed to take proper precautions to store the gun safely. Parker will be in court Friday for the shooting that killed two students and injured 18 others back in January.
The all-clear has been given after reports of an active shooter at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. The incident happened at the base hospital, according to an alert sent to base personnel around 12:40 p.m. The base sent out a tweet telling staff to shelter in place. First responders are on the scene. Wright State University says the situation has been contained, but everyone is advised to stay away from the base, which employs 27,000 people. ATF agents also responded to the scene.
A Lexington 3D printing company is expressing concerns over 3D guns. KNN's Haley Hansen has the story.
A Texas-based company uploaded designs for untraceable plastic firearms online. Eight states and the District of Columbia are now suing to stop the company from making those plans available.
A kid would download that, go to their local library, print off this gun with tolerances and settings that are just not right for this thing.
Benjamin Vandenbroek owns Art Lab 3D Printing in Lexington and tells WKYT kids could get a hold of those guns and hurt themselves or someone else. I'm Haley Hansen.
The owner of a Pike County Rehabilitation Center was arrested on a DUI charge in Pikeville Tuesday. According to WKYT, Eugene Sisco, the third of Pikeville, was arrested by the Pikeville Police Department and charged with operating a motor vehicle under the influence of alcohol and possession of an open alcoholic beverage in a motor vehicle. State records show Sisco is the owner of Brookside Residential Treatment in Pikeville. Police said they spotted Sisco driving a black Jeep Wrangler in Pike County July 31st and say he was weaving from one side of the road to the other. Police asked Sisco to perform multiple field sobriety tests, which he failed.
Two men have been arrested after authorities say they sold $30,000 in methamphetamine. 57-year-old Tatarikada Baxter was arrested by the Sheriff's Department here in Rowan County and Kentucky State Police after a controlled buy. Sheriff's Deputy Joe Klein says Baxter tried to run from authorities after that buy.
This individual came in and thought he was going to set up a little drug ring, drug enterprise, and start selling drugs. And we was able to do a controlled buy and able to make an arrest on him, and that led to the arrest of the other individual that occurred in Lexington with the help of the Lexington Metro Police Department.
57-year-old Larry Logan was the second individual arrested in the case. Both men are being charged with trafficking in a controlled substance.
One person was flown to the hospital yesterday evening following an accident in Ashland. According to WSAZ, the driver of a car had to be cut out of the vehicle after colliding with a pickup truck. Crews on the scene say the car was struck by the truck after pulling off of Old 13th Street.
A Western Kentucky man accused of murder is facing the death penalty, something his attorney wants off the table. Jeremy DeMar is accused of murdering two Fort Campbell soldiers, his estranged wife Priscilla East and Christopher Hoke. DeMar's attorney, Audrey Woodsnums, has filed two claims against the death penalty.
There's two motions to exclude the death penalty. One motion to declare that the death penalty is unconstitutional, and then there is a motion to suppress.
The attorney general has yet to issue a ruling on the two motions filed. DeMar is facing murder, attempted murder, assault, and burglary charges. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Recreation Center offers basketball and racquetball courts, fitness areas, weight and exercise equipment, indoor walking track, and swimming pool. Outdoor Adventures features camping and hiking equipment, kayaks and paddleboards for Eagle Lake and Bouldering Wall, lockers, towel service, group fitness classes, and personal training. Day passes and community memberships are now available for summer 2018. More information at 783-2083.
A Covington-based chemical company has announced it will be relocating its headquarters. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has more.
The specialty chemicals company Ashland Incorporated announced on Tuesday that they will be moving their headquarters out of Kentucky to Wilmington, Delaware within the next 17 months. According to the Lexington Herald Leader, along with moving its headquarters, the company will be closing its office in Lexington. The Lexington office employs 58 people and is expected to close its doors on December 19, 2019. Ashland released a statement which said some jobs would be eliminated. Others will be relocated to either Dublin, Ohio, or the new Wilmington location, and some employees will be allowed to work remotely. The company was established in 1924 as the Ashland Oil Refining Company by Paul G. Blazer. For WMKY News, I'm Tanner Boyd.
One area nonprofit is feeling the pressure from recently implemented sales tax expansion in Kentucky. The new law adds a 6% sales tax for things like pet grooming, lawn care service, and laundry supply, but also affects some nonprofit and charity organizations. Jeanette Tesmer is the executive director of the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling. Among other things, she's worried future fundraising for the center will take a hit with events like their annual gala.
We're going out and asking for corporate sponsorships for tables or even just tickets for that. We have to add a tax onto all of that now. As we go out and ask for silent auction items, someone has a high bid on an auction item, now they're also paying tax on it. So it's kind of hard to get folks in a charitable mood when we also say, oh, by the way, you have to pay tax on this item as well.
Tesmer adds the new policy seemed to be thrust upon her and the center, receiving a letter from their accountant in June about changes taking effect in July. She says it's also been confusing trying to figure out what and what not to tax.
Some Kentucky teachers plan to use a popular political picnic to launch a fall offensive on the midterm elections. Leaders of the group Hashtag 120 Strong say they expect as many as 200 people to attend the Fancy Farm picnic on Saturday. The picnic marks the traditional start of the fall campaign season in Kentucky. Candidates from both parties share the stage before a crowd of hecklers as their speeches are broadcast on statewide television. Some teachers are angry at changes the legislature made to the state retirement system. Republican leaders have dismissed the protest as noise from a vocal minority of registered voters. But organizer Nima Brewer said the goal of this weekend's demonstration is to show lawmakers teachers are still angry and are still paying attention.
Morehead State University is hosting an open house for prospective graduate students next week. The event will be held online August 9th from 2 to 5 p.m. and will highlight the 72 graduate programs at the university. Dr. Susan Maxey is the director of graduate schools at MSU. She says the university has been hosting open houses online for about 3 years.
It's very popular because students can attend from the comfort of their office. They don't have to come on campus, and there are about 5 staff members that are available to answer their questions. So it's really convenient.
The online event is free to attend, and participants will have their $30 application fee waived. For more information, visit moreheadstate.edu/grad school.
A first-time candidate for Morehead City Council is focused on safety and disaster preparedness. Melissa Patrick is a Morehead native and longtime employee of Morehead State University. Patrick was part of the team who assessed damage after tornadoes hit West Liberty in 2012.
I'm strongly concerned that we have not updated our plan of action in the event of a catastrophe hits Morehead since developing one in the aftermath of that disaster. We must have a plan to handle all of the donations of non-basic need items that come in by the semi-load, and we must have regional partners who will help us during the devastation and rebuilding as we have and will help them in the future.
Patrick shared her experiences with the Morehead News Cities Group during their July meeting. Other city council candidates include Tom Carew, Mike Cash, Beth Owsley, Paul Hitchcock, David Perkins, and Glenn Teeger. Election day is November 6th.
The Rowan County Public Library is offering back-to-school packs for students in the area. The packs include a ruler, eraser, and pencil pouch, a library activity or coloring book, and information about library resources. Library Executive Director Tim Gamp also encourages individuals picking up the packs to check out some of their upcoming events.
On September 8th, we're going to have a Grandparents' Day celebration. And this is going to be for you to bring your grandparents or grandfriends along with you for a story and a themed craft. We do offer baby sensory playtimes that we offer on September 22nd. Bubbles, music, water, and things to touch, feel, and crawl through. October the 20th and October the 27th, both of these at 1 p.m., it is a gross science project.
The packs can be picked up at the Rowan County Public Library during regular business hours through August the 5th.
Boyd County schools are due to reimburse local industries for tax overpayments. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has more.
According to the Daily Independent, two industry-owned properties in the Boyd County School District weren't evaluated properly for tax purposes, which means the district must refund hundreds of thousands of dollars to each of the properties involved. One of the properties in question, the Marathon Refinery at Catlettsburg, paid over $219,000 in utility taxes, while the other property, a coal dock on the Big Sandy River owned by Cargill Incorporated, overpaid more than $317,000 in property taxes. The refund will come from this year's tax collections, and the district will have to adjust its budget accordingly. For WMKY News, I'm Logan Pemberton.
Officials with the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife have been warning people not to feed or interact with black bears in the area. When a video shot on the Virginia side of Black Mountain in Harlan County surfaced on social media, Fish and Wildlife officials began an investigation. Sergeant Homer Pigman tells EKBTV had the video been shot in Kentucky, the man could have faced charges.
You know, he pretty well admitted to us. He was just pranking around with the black bear, and that's exactly what happened. He was pretending like he was feeding it. Had this occurred on the Kentucky side, he would have been charged with harassing of wildlife, particularly a black bear.
Pigman says during the investigation, the man was charged with illegally killing a different bear, and the bear from the video was eventually euthanized.
Looking at the weather tonight, a 30% chance of showers, mainly before 7 p.m., cloudy with a low around 67 degrees. Friday, partly sunny with a high near 84 degrees. Friday night, a 20% chance of showers before 1 a.m., partly cloudy with a low around 67. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 86. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 68 degrees. Sunday, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m., mostly sunny with a high near 87. And on Sunday night, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 1 a.m., partly cloudy with a low around 69 degrees. Looking at the listening area temperatures, in Flemingsburg, 78 degrees, Lexington, 79, Ashland, 83, Winchester, 80, Inez, also 80, and in Moorhead, it's currently 79 degrees.
On our feature segment today, an organization in Morehead looks to raise awareness about options for recovering drug addicts reentering life outside of inpatient treatment centers. WMKY's Joe Lewis has the story.
Jim Borders recently spoke about Oxford House, an outpatient residential program that offers recovering addicts an alternative to going back to the environment that helped contribute to their drug problems. Borders lives in a Moorhead Oxford house and says that the organization is continuing to build its relationship with the Moorhead Inspiration Center and hopes to expand the number of houses in the area.
Right now we have two. We're currently looking for a third one. The sky's the limit. So many people know about MIC. We have a great relationship with them, but even the guys up there, a lot of them are unfamiliar with Oxford House, and that it's even an option. That's my biggest goal, is to try to educate not only the public, but to give these other guys an option.
In many cases, Oxford House is the first place that people in recovery live after leaving their inpatient treatment programs. That's why, he says, that keeping house members accountable for their behavior and contributions is one of the organization's primary goals.
Accountability is our number one thing. We give them 2 weeks to find a job. We give them 2 weeks to find a sponsor and start working a program. The first 30 days, they're on newcomer status. That's basically so the house can get to know them, see what, you know, if they're serious or not.
In order to be accepted into the house, prospective members have to undergo an interview process and gain consensus among current residents who run the house in a democratic manner.
We schedule them around 8:30 on Thursday night for an interview, and then we have a series of like 30, 35 questions we ask them, just basically why, what they could bring to the house, why they've chose Oxford House, why they think it's good for them, how long they've been clean. We take a vote right after the interview, and they need an 80% vote in order to get in. But basically, we just schedule an interview, and we go from there.
Border says that houses have strict but simple rules about conduct.
Only three ways you can get kicked out is disruptive behavior, behind on your EES, which is equal expenses shared, or if you use drugs or take a drink, then and the house member finds out or knows, you have 15 minutes to leave. You're evicted.
To learn more about the Oxford House or schedule an interview to be considered as a resident, call 606-464-3415. For WMKY News, I'm Joe Lewis.
It's 447 and 79 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this Thursday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, video tapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
The Reds are in action tonight. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Cincinnati Reds are getting ready to start a series in Washington this evening. The Reds are coming off a losing series in Detroit where they lost both games to the Tigers. Cincy manager Jim Riggleman tells Fox Sports Ohio the urge to win is there. His players just need to clean some things up a bit.
It's great effort. We have to take that and just see if we can continue to pound the message in that details count. You know, attention to detail counts, and you know, we got a good ball club. We got a good ball club, but there's no ball club good enough to play the way we did today or the last game that Sal pitched and consistently win ball games.
Game time this evening is scheduled for 7:05 in D.C. From elsewhere in the majors, Los Angeles Angels star Mike Trout was out of the lineup for today's matchup against the Tampa Bay Rays because of a sore right wrist. Angels manager Mike Socha says center fielder tweaked the wrist while sliding during a stolen base attempt during the first inning in last night's 7-2 loss to the Rays. Trout is hitting .309 with 30 homers, 60 RBIs, and has 21 stolen bases in 109 games. Morehead State University softball team is expanding its coaching staff. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has more.
After a successful career at Illinois and gaining experience as a graduate manager at Louisville, Brianna Wunderly has joined the Morehead State softball program as an assistant coach. Wunderly started her college career at Heartland Community College in Illinois. During her time with the Hawks, she was the MWAC Pitcher of the Year, first team All-Conference and All-Region 24 before moving on to Illinois after her freshman season. The right-handed pitcher from Centerview, Missouri, helped lead Illinois back to the NCAA tournament for the second consecutive season as a senior. She appeared in 45 games and had a 21-16 record with a 2.63 ERA. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
As training camp heats up for the Cincinnati Bengals, they are in full competition mode. Bengals backup wide receiver Tyler Boyd tells Bengals.com that his teammates are pushing each other to perform at their highest ability.
Every guy is showing, putting big plays out there, making huge plays, you know, but I mean, like, based off everybody making those plays, everybody wants to do that. So they're making the competition even much higher, you know, it's making guys even do greater thing, you know, is bringing the best out of everybody, you know, so that's something that I love being around and being a part of.
The Bengals, who went 7-9 last season, start preseason play a week from today when they take on the Bears. Rookie guard Nick Callender has signed with the Indianapolis Colts. The move today comes a day after veteran guard Jack Muhort abruptly announced his retirement. Callender originally signed with Seattle after the 6'6", 321-pound offensive lineman was not drafted. He was waived by the Seahawks on June 12th. The Los Angeles Chargers have placed cornerback Jason Verrett on injured reserve with a torn Achilles tendon. The Chargers also placed rookie tight end Austin Roberts on injured reserve. They also signed receiver Marcus Peterson and cornerback Channing Stribling. Ohio State head football coach Urban Meyer's job appears to be in jeopardy. Ohio State placed Meyer, one of the most successful coaches in college football history, on paid administrative leave yesterday. The school claims that his wife knew about allegations of domestic violence against former assistant coach Zach Smith years before the staff member was fired last week. Urban Meyer addressed some of those allegations from 2009 during the Big Ten football media days in Chicago last week.
It came back to me that what was reported wasn't actually what happened, and so Shelly and I actually both got involved because of a relationship with that family and advised for counseling and wanted to help as we move forward. 2015, I got a text late last night that something happened in 2015, and there was nothing, unless, once again, there's nothing. You know, once again, I don't know who creates a story like that.
Zach Smith was fired last week after an Ohio court granted a domestic violence protective order to his ex-wife, Courtney Smith. Both Meyer and his wife could be in violation of Ohio State's Title IX sexual misconduct policy on reporting allegations of domestic violence against university employees. The Rowan County Viking football team is on the field today and tomorrow, gearing up for a scrimmage Saturday in Montgomery County. Coming off a 3-8 record last season, Coach Kelly Ford says most of his team has been playing together since their days in flag football, and that will mean good things on the field this season.
Especially the junior class, even the senior class, all those kids have played all those many years together, and it makes it a little easier on the coaching coast. You know, we know what these kids can do, and doing their part on the team to make it successful.
The Vikings will compete in a controlled scrimmage with Montgomery and Grant counties. The Morehead State Soccer Eagles are preparing for their first scrimmage at Marshall a week from today, starting at 7 p.m. Last year, the Morehead soccer team only went 3-13. Eagles head coach Warren Lipka says that while returning 10 players from last year, he feels confident in his team's progress this offseason.
Our offseason is a lot different than, you know, say football and that. Our kids go out and play. It's almost similar to baseball. They go out and play in their leagues and all over. We had 5 kids out in Seattle. We had 3 in Indianapolis, a few in Ohio, a couple in Virginia. They sound like they all had a great experience playing, and they were healthy. And that's the main thing, having them come into camp healthy. You know, now it's just wait and see when we get them here and see where we're going to start from.
The Soccer Eagles regular season game starts Friday, August 17th at a 7 p.m. game against Akron, Ohio. And lastly, in sports, North Carolina is honoring Hall of Fame basketball coach Roy Williams by putting his name on the playing floor. UNC announced today that it will dedicate Roy Williams Court on August 24th. Williams has 842 career victories as head coach at Kansas and UNC, including three NCAA championships in 15 seasons with the Tar Heels. He was also an assistant under the late Hall of Fame coach Dean Smith at UNC for 10 seasons. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagles soccer and football season tickets are now available. Soccer has 7 home games, including their home opener with Ball State on August 26th. Football has 6 home games and hosting Mount St. Joseph on September 8th. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ both rose as Apple became the first U.S. publicly traded company in history to reach $1 trillion in market value. And at the close, the Dow Industrials actually showed a small loss of 7.66 at 25,326.16. But the S&P and NASDAQ both strong today, with the S&P up 13.86, or about a half a percent, at 2827.22. And your NASDAQ composite was your real strong performer, finishing with a gain of 95.40, or 1.25% to 7802.69. And as mentioned, Apple shares strong today, rising almost 3% to finish over $207 a share, lifting its market cap above the $1 trillion mark. Apple stock has been on a tear since the company reported stronger than forecast quarterly results on Tuesday. Since that time, the stock is up nearly 9%. The U.S. administration followed through today on earlier threats, announcing that President Trump did ask the U.S. Trade Representative Lighthizer to consider increasing the proposed levies on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods up to 25% from a previously announced 10%. Shares of big exporters Caterpillar and Boeing fell 0.4% and 0.9% respectively on this news. Earnings season continued in full force, with Dow, DuPont, and Aetna reporting reporting better-than-expected quarterly results. Aetna shares rose 0.1%, while Dow, DuPont stock fell more than 2%. Tesla shares surged more than 16% after CEO Elon Musk said the company would be profitable in the second half. However, Tesla did post wider-than-expected losses for the previous quarter. In the commodities markets, oil was up 2%, rebounding nicely from yesterday's weakness, finishing at $69.03 a barrel. Gold was down 0.7% at $1,216.90 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were weak, with the Stoxx 600 index down 0.8%. And in Asia, stocks were weak as well, with the Nikkei down 1% and the Shanghai Composite down 2%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Apple and Procter & Gamble, while your worst performers were Dow, DuPont, and Chevron. In the S&P 500, the best performers were CF Industries and Perkin Elmer, while the worst performers were TripAdvisor and Willis Towers Watson. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.11 at $84.92, CSX up 47 cents at $71.09, AEP up 19 cents at $70.49, AK Steel down 14 cents at $4.43, Marathon Petroleum down $1.04 at $79.72, and Anthem was up $4.31, finishing at $256.58. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, reminding citizens, civic groups, churches, and businesses to properly retire old, faded, or damaged American flags. In partnership with Advanced Disposal, Rowan County Fiscal Court has placed a collection bin inside the Rowan County Courthouse. Flags may be dropped off Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. through September 11th. More information by calling 784-6345.
And just a quick update on a story we reported on earlier in the show. WYMT is reporting that officials with the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base say there was no real-world active shooter. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Logan Pemberton, Jacob Lindberg, Cody Robinson, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Joe Lewis. This is Morehead State Public Radio. WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202 VH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.